Now I've got Dan Money with me. Now, the two people I'm about to introduce are co-chairs of what's happening here. In other words, these are the guys that that are set up for the meeting. If the meeting doesn't go well, it's completely on them. Dan Money, Two Rivers Watershed District Administrator, and he is co-chair, as well as Teresa Ebengay. Huh? I nailed it, Teresa. See?
You got it.
I'm going to say this, though, too. From Hickson, North Dakota.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Where do you live now?
So I live in Bemidji now, but I cover
the country.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. But I cover the whole northwest corner of the state.
For Minnesota DNR.
For Minnesota DNR.
Okay.
Yep. Correct.
Well, good to have you co-chairs here.
Wonderful.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, this melding of worlds. Let's talk about, you know, the protection we can have. But first, I'm going to get this out of the way before I forget it. When's the bond spiel?
In Hallock, Minnesota, we have our curling bond spiel, international curling bond spiel, April 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. So,
Teresa, did I remember?
You did.
We're looking for a media team to show up, so if you want to come.
If you want to see people falling on the ice.
Yeah, why not?
Just looking like they're fools out there trying to curl.
Yeah.
You know, I'll send one of our competitors.
There you go.
How's that? So let's talk a little bit on updates on the flood mitigation. I'm going to go with you first, Teresa. Where do we sit now with the projects?
So it is great to know we have, this is the 25th year of what we call the 1998 mediation agreement. And that agreement came and made DNR and the Red River Watershed Management Board come together and really work on these flood damage reduction projects together. And so since that, we have built over 18 projects, and we have another 16 to 17 on the books and through project teams working together to have some really good water damage reduction projects on the books.
And you see it from a practical standpoint. I mean, you're out there as somebody who got involved in all this, living right in the Monkston.
Yeah, for sure. You know, everybody knows about the historic Red River floods and the amount of damage that happens. And so when the Red River Watershed Management Board was organized in the 70s, that's the first thing they started doing, was building large-scale impoundments. And that led to controversy because then, you know, I think they did like 33 of them. And DNR and U.S. Corps of Engineers, other regulators started looking at, hey, what are the effects of this up and down the whole entire Red River Valley? And that's when they started knocking heads. And there was lawsuits and environmental impact statement, and then they disagreed over that. And in 1998, they came together. It was a long process. They have signed this mediation agreement, and so that's what we've been working with the last 25 years. And it's about building projects that are both good for natural resource enhancements and flood damage reduction.
Teresa, you're a young woman, so there were people before you that did this, and you probably spoke or talked to them. What are the stories you hear from them about the beginning days of what Dan just spoke to?
Sure, yeah. There was quite a bit of controversy. And
in the air.
What are these, you know, what are these big impoundments doing to the landscape out there? And is there any way we can make them better and actually use some of those for the, you know, the wildlife and nature out there? You know, like I said, I grew up in Hickson, North Dakota, so the 1997 flood was very personal to me.
Sure.
I mean, we sandbagged 7 feet up to keep water out of Mom and Dad's house. So I understand flooding really well. And when I came on board as regional director and co-chair here, it really brought synergy to the group again and kind of revitalized the group.
See, I think the beauty of what I'm looking at right now with two people with completely different, two people bringing completely different viewpoints to this and yet co-chairs. And Teresa, I'm going to say it this way. You're not a guest here. You know, you're a partner here.
Right, exactly.
And that isn't the way it would have been 20 years ago. You would have been part of the should we even invite them? Then it's like, well, we got to invite them. We got to talk to them. And you'd have been a guest speaker. Now you're co-chair.
Yeah, I remember.
That's a sign of success.
Yeah, I remember going to one of these project work groups and walking in the door and saying, what's DNR doing here? You know,
yep.
I mean, and just giving me the evil eye. And we.
That was probably at one of our projects.
Yeah, one of the Klondike projects.
Two Rivers.
Yes,
yeah.
Two Rivers.
I remember
and
that. Yeah.
And, you know, now we have a seat at the table and we can all work together and coordinate together and make these projects better.
Well, and oftentimes when we say things like we just said, there's an assumption that that the farmer, the rancher, the small town, those individuals, you know, they have good reason, or this is why they believe what they believe. But it also is a barrier that's been broke down by Minnesota DNR, too.
Right.
I mean, Minnesota DNR no longer, they're not coming in with this attitude of, you know, tough, we're Minnesota DNR.
We really try to coordinate, work with the people, and, you know, understand what people are going through out there. We need to know and understand that so that we can, you know, create projects that'll be beneficial for both flood damage reduction and for the natural resources out there.
We've been talking about projects and infrastructure, which is why I was excited to come over and do this. And, you know, Dan, describe to people physically. Now, I don't need just need town names, but what the Two Rivers Watershed District is.
Well, when I first was dating my wife, she thought a watershed was a physical shed out in the backyard, you know. That's where you keep the water or something like that.
Well, so, quite frankly, she married you.
Yeah,
so
right,
she
there
was,
you go. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not that, you know, absolutely, but we do a lot of different things. So Minnesota law in 1957 started up watershed districts. You know, there's always been soil and water districts who've worked on conservation. Watershed districts are like that, only it's slightly different. They follow watershed boundaries. So like Two Rivers Watershed, we're in three different counties, about a third of Roseau County, a large portion of Kitson County, and a little sliver of Marshall County. So it's the drainage area of the two rivers, tributary to the Red River.
But what's the difference between your watershed and one on the southern end of the valley?
Well, there's a lot of similar things. However, we receive a lot of the floodwater that comes from the southern end, you know.
So I was waiting for you to say that.
There you go. We're on the receiving end. In turn, Winnipeg, Manitoba is on the receiving end, too. You know, so we have a river that runs north. Watersheds focus on drainage, water quality, and flood control. You know, capital F on the flood control. That's the main thing that we do.
But and Teresa, that was one of the things that I wanted to ask you, because at some point, and I think you've reached that in some of these areas. You've done a good job of protecting areas. The watershed is working. People are taking it for granted, all of that. And so it seems to me that, and I don't mean just time-wise, like it shouldn't have been talked about before, but it seems to me that there's enough infrastructure there where you can collect the data you need to talk about water quality. And
yeah.
I'm curious what you think about that.
Yeah, definitely. One of the programs that the Flood Damage Reduction Work Group has going right now is a new monitoring program. We received $1 million to look at these projects and see how they're working and see how we can make them even better in the future. So there's been some huge successes out there. One of the projects that we were just talking about a minute ago was the North Ottawa project. And that one, it's a combination of flood damage reduction plus natural resource enhancements. So it not only holds a bunch of flood water, but it also generates duck habitat, waterfowl habitat, habitat for, you know, migratory species as they come
through. Aquatic species.
Aquatic species, exactly. And that's the beauty of working together.
I learned so much when you guys invited me on the southern end to go to the watershed when they opened it up, when they had the big ribbon cutting kind of thing where the project was done. I shouldn't say opened it up, but they were through that process where all the dozers went away. And I spoke to a farmer down there who hated the project, absolutely hated the project, was mad about it the minute it started. And then he said, you know, they paid a fair price for the land. We've got a way that's going to control some things here. You duck hunters, you're going to be happy because they're there, and they ain't going to hurt us because you couldn't raise a damn thing on that land anyway. This thing ain't that bad. he wasn't going to say it was good quite yet, but he's going to say, this ain't that bad.
Yeah.
You know, and you run into some of that. And I remember driving home in my pickup going, you know, that's a sign of success when you can get him to say that.
Yeah.
Right. If one of the things we talk about is not everybody's going to agree about everything. We get all these people in the same room from different walks of life, different agencies, whatever. But if we can all go away saying we can live with it, you've probably done your job, you know, and water isn't an easy subject. But if everybody can live with it, and then, like you say, some people can then see the benefits after it's operated for a little bit, you know, I think that that's the way it works. And
well, governments talk to governments. What do the Canadians think of how we manage?
It's interesting you say that. I'm also part of what's called the Red River Basin Commission, and that is a board that is comprised of North Dakota, Minnesota, and Manitoba. So I bring, and we bring, all of that information into that Red River Basin Commission to look at what are the water quality effects, the water quantity effects that we're saving here in the United States that doesn't flow now north into Canada.
Yeah, and again, what do they say?
They are very appreciative of this project or process of what we're doing because we helped
that
with
wasn't
that
the case some
it
years
was
ago.
Not. It
I
was
served
not.
On the Red River Basin Board
yeah.
when Bud Oliver was the chair,
right.
and I was in the North Dakota State Senate. I was a representative because I worked in the water industry.
Sure.
And I went to a lot of meetings in Winnipeg, and there wasn't a lot of love.
Nope.
I mean, there were people mad. So
yep.
to, for you to say that, that's a sign.
Yeah.
That's a really good sign.
And it's a start. I mean, we're definitely not all the way there yet. You know, I mean, I think part of this process that Dan likes to talk about is the 20% reduction to the red for all these watershed districts. And we're not at that yet.
No, and that came out of that Red River Basin Board, you know. And that was one of the things they did probably, I think it was around 2011, 2012. They did all the studies, they went out, had a lot of public meetings, and they came up with what they call the long-term flood solutions for the Red River Basin. And that was one of them was 20% reduction of peak flows on the Red River. So then how do you do that? Well, you go back and there was a lot of engineers doing models and decided, okay, this tributary, we want to reduce the flow from this tributary this much and maybe a different tributary X amount. And working together, they got to look at how the water moves through the system, you know, because obviously down in the Fargo-Moorhead area, I'm up on the north end, it's 3 to 4 weeks by the time, you know, you hear about all the flood going on here in town, and it's 3 to 4 weeks, and we're just getting the flood up there.
At some point, Oslo is going to be using a boat, but it isn't going to be right away.
And it's another week or two after Oslo that we get it up on right. the north end, so far north end.
Yeah.
So. You know, how does all this enter the system? How does it all work? At what times should we be holding back? What times? There's actually times we're so far north that we can get our water out ahead of the flood. That's a bonus, you know. So timing is everything, they say. But that long-term flood solutions document and the peak flow reduction goal is what we're all trying to, you know, we all latch on to that as a common.
So, you know, I'm older than you, so let me ask the question this way. You're both 68. It's going to be a different times, I realize. What would you hope to have done? By the time you're 68 and retired and you said, you know what, I'll take my watch now. I'm out of here. What would you like to have done?
Well, I'd like to see how far we get on knocking off all those different items on the long-term flood solutions. And we've got a project in the Two Rivers right now. If we get it built, we're pretty close to having that goal for the Two Rivers. Other tributaries, you know, need that as well. We got a little ways to go or a long ways to go. There has been a lot of flood damage reduction done, though. I mean, with buyouts to ring dikes that have been built to a lot of these impoundments. I just want to see that we can, you know, keep checking the box of getting this to a point where maybe we don't need to work on flood control yeah. anymore, you know. But
Teresa, you went to school, you studied hard to do what you're doing, and you got a passion for the environment, or you wouldn't be spending your life doing this.
Exactly.
So what would you like to see at the
end
of it?
Yeah, I went to school right here in Moorhead at what we used to call Moorhead State University. So
I still do.
Old Dragons. and, yeah, I would, you know, we have another 16 projects out there. And we need yeah. funding, so, you know, we continue. Half of the funding usually comes through the state through bonding, and so we're in the process right now of continuing to work towards getting additional funding for those projects. And I would love to see at least half of those additional 16, 17 projects on the ground and incorporating natural resources enhancements in each and every single one of those projects.
Well, you work for him, and you probably met him, but I've got Tim Walls' cell, so I'll give
okay.
it to you. You make sure that
there
happens.
You go. There you go. All right.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks right. for coming on.
Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.